Motherhood isn't always glamorous. In fact, it can be quite challenging trying to balance your life with the lives of your children. Between school and dance lessons and soccer practice, a mom's day can be incredibly busy, but it's this constant activity and daily challenges that can produce some interesting stories. Thursday night, a handful of women and one gentleman will share stories about motherhood to a sold-out crowd at Walton Arts Center during the Listen to Your Mother production. Heather Davis is one mother who participated in the show last year. The Oklahoma mom might be better known to her online blog audience as Minivan Mama. In April, she released her book, TMI Mom, Oversharing My Life, and she'll have a book signing Friday night at Nightbird Books in Fayetteville. Earlier this year, Heather stopped by Studio 123 during a trip to Fayetteville. During our conversation, the full-time teacher explained how she got her start as a writer.
I actually wrote the very first thing ever when I was in fourth grade was when I wanted to be a writer, and I was very into Encyclopedia Brown books, and I wrote my table of contents, and it scared me so bad that I crumbled it up and didn't write another thing again until I was in high school. So, but yeah, that's when I loved it so much, and I like teaching that, you know, that composition. I just like to teach that, and when kids say, oh, I can't write, and then they produce a really cool paper, and they put their thoughts into words, and it's coherent, I love that feeling.
So you have a blog, Minivan Mama.
Yes.
And is that your is that what first started your kind of most recent trek into the writing world?
Yes. I actually started, I have another blog that was just, you know, a mommy blog. I was just chronicling what my kids did, and my family would read it and a few friends, and they started telling me, you really need to get this out there to a bigger audience. And so I started minivanmama.com and started blogging through that. And at first I wanted to maintain a lot of anonymity. And so I would publish it, but I wouldn't say, oh, this is, you know, me, everybody go see me. And now it's out in the open. Everybody knows who I am. And that's the road that Minivan Mama path is what has led me, you know, to Dr. Oz and to the publishing world and Listen to Your Mother and everything else.
And what is your role with Listen to Your Mother?
Last year I was in Listen to Your Mother with Northwest Arkansas. And then this year I'm a co-producer for the Oklahoma City show.
Also, there's one in Oklahoma City as
yes.
well. Very yeah. cool. A little closer for you guys, I guess.
Yes. Well, it's actually 601
is
half a dozen of another. Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's a story behind the name Minivan Mama. There's a story behind the minivan. Is that kind of...
Well, I love my minivan. I fought it tooth and nail. I did not want to have a minivan. I was pregnant with my second daughter, and we had an SUV that was just horrible, and it was going to cost us more to get it fixed than it was even worth. And so 2 days before she was born, we started the online process of buying a vehicle, and hormones took over, and I said, fine, get the minivan. I just don't care. I just need a reliable vehicle. And as I delivered her, and that afternoon, I got a phone call from the bank, and they said, congratulations on your baby, and you're approved for your minivan loan. So she was 2 days old, and we drove down. We bought it online. It was when online purchasing was fairly new, and we drove down there and picked it up, and I became a minivan mom, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
It's interesting that you were fighting a tooth and nail, yet when it happened, you know, you chose that kind of as your moniker.
Right. Yeah, in my mind, I had this vision of, you know, a minivan mom, and she has the soccer magnet on the back, and she, you know, the matching soccer chair, and she's out there every Saturday cheering her kid on in soccer, and I'm not a soccer fan, and so I think I had lumped minivans erroneously with soccer, and so, when I got the minivan and saw that, oh, you know, I can do other things besides soccer, and I really liked it. It's kind of powerful to drive that minivan and, you know, to be the one that says, oh, I can haul six kids to and from dance or softball or wherever we're going. I liked that power that minivan brought with it.
Now, you've published an ebook that was a bunch of travel essays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, TMI Mom Bites the Big City. In September, I was contacted by Dr. Oz Show, and they flew me out on September 10th and then flew me back home September 11th. So that was a little bit sombering to fly out of New York City on September 11th. And I filmed a show on internet oversharing. And it was a positive spin. He wasn't bringing me on there to shame me or shake his finger at me. And so as I was walking the streets of New York City at, you know, 1 a.m. because the city never sleeps, and I had never been there before, and I was having all kinds of adventures, I texted my editor and I said, what if we did an ebook on this? And so on the flight back, because it had been a really just a whirlwind trip, I sat on the plane, which was nonstop from New York to Tulsa, and I wrote my it's just a little ebook. I wrote that quickly and sent it off to my editor, and we had it sitting on go by the time the show aired.
Nicely done.
Yes.
We mentioned an editor, so were you already in the process of writing your latest book?
Yeah, I actually had, I did things kind of backwards. I had my book completely written, and then I went in search of a publisher. But when I, this past summer, I had met Mary Farthing, who is senior editor at BuzzBooks USA, and she had been following my blog some, and we had talked a little bit about some articles that I had written, and we had lunch at a writer's conference, and she said, do you have a book written? And she goes, or do you think you'd like to write a book one day? And I said, I actually have one written. And she said, do you want me to look at it? And I said, no, not yet, you know, and I really did, but it's just that, you know, handing that baby over for somebody else to look at. And so I polished it up real quick. I have a great group of girlfriends that critiqued for me, and sent it off to her this summer, and she said, I'm going to recommend you for a publishing contract. And the publisher, Melina Lott, who owns BuzzBooks, contacted me and said, we'd like to do a 4-book series. And so that's, at that point, that was the summer, and that's when the publishing, you know, of the Oversharing My Life took off. And then the TMI Mom Bites the Big Apple happened in September. It's just kind of a, let's take advantage of me being in New York situation.
So the book TMI, Mom, Oversharing My Life, you do TMI, for those that don't know, is too much information, and you do overshare often in the book. It's very aptly named. Why did you choose to do that? Because it seems like a lot of these events, perhaps, for example, like being afraid of the shots and then passing out in the doctor's office when you had to get one, which is beautifully told. And I know a lot of people can relate to that. But you know, it's an embarrassing thing for a lot of people, I'm sure. So why is that something that you want to bring to the attention of all of the people in the world that are going to read your book?
Well, when I was first a mom, I distinctly remember one of my kids messing in her diaper and then playing in it before I realized what she had done. And there's finger painting all over the wall. And I thought, my first thought was to take a picture, which I did. And then my next thought was, how embarrassing. I am the only mother in the world that this happens to. And I mentioned at dance later on that that had happened, and another mom shared that her child had just continually dumped his plate onto the floor, so she finally let him eat off the floor. And another mother mentioned that she was so tired that one of her kids picked her nose and fed it to her, and she ate it. And so I thought, you know, there are a whole lot of us moms out here that crazy things are happening to us, and we are not building our own community. We were raised on Claire Huxtable, and she's a great role model, and I loved The Cosby Show, but she never had to clean poop off the walls. And that's really something that every mom is going to have to do at some point in time, so we might as well share it. So when I started sharing my stories, oversharing, basically, you know, letting you see the glimpses of the funny, the glimpses of the embarrassment in my life, I really want to reach out to that mom that is sitting at home thinking, oh, why me? Because it's not just you. It's everybody. It's just a part of life. And if you can laugh at it and embrace it and enjoy the embarrassment of it, then you're going to have a much more pleasant journey. So that's why I started.
How are you able to have that sense of humor, which is quite evident when you read the book, that you have a sense of humor about these things that have happened, these little short vignettes of stories of being a mom? How do you manage to keep that sense of humor?
I don't always keep it.
Fair enough.
That's an entirely different book. No, I'm just kidding. It is hard, and there are some days when you're just tired, and I just want to, you know, because I work full time, and my kids are on the go constantly, and there are some nights when I, you know, hand them a Lunchable and lay on the couch and leave me alone. But I think that having the attitude of, you know, what can I do about it? You know, really, and going back to my daughter finger painting on her wall with her dirty diaper, what could I do about it? It was done. So I could choose to be unhappy about it and moan and groan and grumble, or I could think, you know, oh, this is kind of funny and kind of cute, and I'm going to take a picture, and maybe if I take enough pictures, my husband will wander in here and he'll clean her up. So you just kind of, it's just an attitude that I have that I'm going to roll with the punches and make the most out of it and not let it bring me down.
And you've been a fan of writing for most of your life, as you mentioned. Why did you want to do creative nonfiction, basically, as opposed to fiction?
This is going to sound so funny because I have written just a few fiction mm-hmm. short stories, and it bothers me because people know that they're made up, which is the definition of fiction. It's a made up story. So I like being able to share what really happens. It's what I know best. I don't have to worry about, did I leave a hole in that story that somebody's going to see through? And because it's my life, it really happened, and there's nothing better going on that I could even make up than the stuff that happens to us.
Do you have to keep a notebook with you to write things down all the time? Are you obsessive about writing down things that happen during the day? Because maybe this will make a good blog post. Maybe this will make a good story later. How does that work? I've always wondered.
My iPhone is my best writing friend. I snap a picture of something going on. And sometimes, you know, like my daughter the other day, I told her to put a coat on because it was 32 degrees outside and she didn't want to wear a coat. And so she went to the closet and she got one from 3 years ago. And and her, you know, sleeves were pulled up to her elbows. And I was like, okay, I've got to take a picture of this. And I said, can I take a picture? And she's like, oh, are you going to blog about it? So my pictures are what really keep me in check, remind me what I want to write about. I do jot down notes on occasion when it's not entirely appropriate to whip out my phone and take a picture. Sometimes funny things happen in church. And, you know, taking pictures in church is still a little bit taboo. So sometimes I write notes, but mostly I take a picture with my iPhone, or I use the voice control on my iPhone, and I'll say something into it so that I'll remember, just to jog my memory when I get a chance to sit down.
Do you ever get overwhelmed with having that voice in your head that, oh, this would be good. Oh, this is, because I know for us as journalists, a lot of times we're like, oh, this will make a good story. This would be a good story. And we try to remember just random things, and we sometimes aren't necessarily in the moment.
Right. Yes, absolutely. My head goes 90 to nothing. And sometimes I'm, you know, and I, last night was kind of one of those moments. I told my husband, I was like, I have so much that I need to do. And he said, like what? And I was like, just so much. I couldn't even communicate. There were just so many things in my head that I wanted to get out. And it was, you know, and sometimes I just, and then when that happens, I just have to sit on the couch, surf Facebook for an hour or two, collect my thoughts, and then sit down and sort them out.
Heather Davis is the author of TMI Mom, Oversharing My Life. She will have a book signing from 5 to 7 Friday night at Nightbird Books in Fayetteville. More information about Heather is available at her blog, minivan-mama.com.
And speaking of sharing or oversharing, there's still more of the conversation to share with listeners.
Yes, you can go to our website, ozarksatlarge.com, to hear some more of my conversation with Heather, including a conversation about how you make a personal story relatable to a bigger audience, and also how she decides, you know, what stays on her blog and what goes in her books.
Oh, interesting. ¶¶